For decades, the city of Londonderry, or Derry, was generally known more for its part in the violent Irish Troubles than for anything else. But that's all changing. In just a moment on Travel with Rick Steves, we'll find out about some big events coming up this year in the historic city of Derry in Northern Ireland and how being named the UK's City of Culture for 2013 has everyone looking forward to the year ahead. Then, we'll look into the emerging scene in the working-class East End of London. And later in the hour, we'll hear how Croatia just may have the coastal getaways of your travel dreams. Travelers absolutely love Ireland. It's one of the top destinations in Europe. Historically, people have not really thought seriously about the North. It's always the romantic destinations in the Republic of Ireland. But this is a big year coming up for the North. There's more and more stability. There's more and more confidence. And the second city of the North, Derry or Londonderry, depending on your heritage and your outlook, is having a big year. 2013's a celebration, a festival year for Derry. And we're joined by a Derryman who's coming all the way from Ulster, Stephen McPhillamy. He runs the youth hostel in Derry. He's a tour guide. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So Derry, Londonderry, I mean, if people grew up in the 70s and 80s, they heard Londonderry a lot. What's the right name?
Officially, the city is called Londonderry. And to the city's Catholic or nationalist majority, it is known as Derry.
Ireland is an island of, what, 4 or 5 million people, and 80% of the land and 80% of the people would be in the Republic. And then the northern quarter or so would be ruled from London and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, part of the United Kingdom. Derry is roughly 100,000 people, and we have this big river in the middle called the Foyle. And there's a west bank and there's an east bank. And on the west bank, you have roughly 80,000 Catholic people. And on the east bank, you have 20,000 Protestant people. Generally, and right. On the West Bank, the Catholics are feeling Irish and nationalist, and on the East Bank, the Protestant people overwhelmingly feel British and their political outlook.
And the river is a natural kind of border between the two groups.
Yeah. But on the West Bank, there's these beautiful, historic, iconic ancient city walls.
Okay.
And that's like the mecca of Ulster Protestantism because they built these walls in 1613 to keep the Irish out.
That explains it. And that was sort of a matter of pride to keep the Londonderry town on the Catholic side of the river in with Ulster when the line was drawn. Consequently, during the Troubles, during the 70s and 80s and 90s, it was the focus of a lot of tension and violence.
Yeah, Derry definitely was a violent city or a city where lots of violence took place. And it did have all the international headlines for the wrong reasons. Now we're entering a new exciting
phase. So you decided
to
run a youth hostel in this town that had such a bloody reputation.
Yeah, well, it's also my hometown, you know, and home is where the heart is. So, I mean, financially, this youth hostel that I opened has never made me any millions, but it's a labor of love. And that's the key to this city. And that's why I think it's such a great city, is that you have got these two divided communities who both love the place in equal amounts. May not love each other, but they love that land.
So you got Catholics and Protestants loving this historic town.
Yeah, and we also have loads of tourists now starting to come in, loving this historic town.
And this year's a big deal.
Right, well, this year, 2013, is our biggest year ever in our history. It's probably the best year for visitors since the Vikings arrived in about the 9th century. This year, the number is going to completely spike upwards, the number of visitors. Here's the reasons why people are going to have a good time in our town this year.
All right.
We have four massive things happening. We have been awarded a festival called the UK City of Culture. Now, it's the first time that this festival has ever been offered or organised. It's a UK-led initiative. It's interesting because, you know, a good majority of citizens in the city don't like being in the UK.
I know, so that's what I was going to ask you. You got this, the title is the United Kingdom City of Culture. It's kind of like those English people want to make us a showcase for their tourist industry.
Yeah, and that's why if you go around the town now, a lot of the big signs say the City of Culture Festival, they've conveniently dropped the UK
bit.
But it is officially, I have to stress, the UK City of Culture. That festival is going to bring thousands of extra visitors. It brings a thing called the Turner Prize, which is one of the biggest modern art exhibitions in the United Kingdom. The Royal Ballet are coming. And then we're going to have this big pageant in the middle of the city called, I think, the Return of St. Columbkill.
Mm-hmm.
Because our city was founded in 546 when Belfast was just this little sheep pen up in the northeast. We had a monastic citadel on top of a hill founded by a holy warrior monk called Saint Columba.
Okay.
And he built it in the middle of an oak forest, and the Irish word for oak forest is Durra. And that's where Derry comes from. And then when the English arrived in 1613, they decided to change the name of the city to Londonderry because they were colonists from Shakespearean London.
But this really is the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the English colonial overlords, establishing a Protestant toehold in the most Catholic part of Ireland.
Absolutely. So it's the 400th anniversary of that, but it's also the 400th birthday of our walled city.
Well, you had to bring a wall to protect the settlers from the angry indigenous people outside.
Yeah, and for me as a tour guide, I mean, it's been the most brilliant teaching aid ever. Instead of having to point out where the walled city used to be or there's the 2-foot-tall piece of the old wall, we can stand up, and you've stood there with me on top of this glorious...
It's the best wall in Ireland, really.
Yeah, it's the only wall in Ireland, actually.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like an elevated street around the city. And for years, the business people called it a noose around the city.
Right.
And now they're calling it a necklace around the city, you know, because it's opened up and tourists can walk around it.
So the noose is now the necklace. And
well, this is interesting because for years as a guide, I've been describing my hometown as a divided city. But now... people are describing my hometown as a shared city.
So this is a new beginning for Derry.
Absolutely. And to be a shared city, obviously you have to have some physical infrastructure in place that helps you share it more. So we built this bridge in 2011. It's called the Peace Bridge. It goes right across, spans the River Foyle. It's this ultra funky design. It was, I think, cost 14 million euro. Now, obviously, we didn't pay for it.
That was paid by Britain.
No, it was paid by the European Union.
By the European Union. But does it actually intentionally connects the Catholic and the Protestant parts of town?
Yeah, it connects the East Bank to the West Bank.
Right.
And so it connects the Irish and the British side, or the Catholic and the Protestant side, or the Nationalist and the Unionist side. And at the start, a lot of people were a wee bit cynical and thought it was a bit gimmicky. However, it's been a huge success.
It's a pedestrian bridge.
It's a pedestrian bridge. It's part of a European Union project called Shared Space to try and bring the two sides together in a shared space. And I think it's worked out brilliantly. I have 2 German Shepherd dogs and I live on the West Bank. Uh-huh. And there's a big park on the East Bank and I'd only ever been to it 6 times in my life. And now with this 14 million euro bridge, I've been over to it about 45 times in the last 3 months.
I think 14 million euros is a fine price to pay for something that brings a troubled city together like that.
Yeah, well, we've spent 14 million on worse things.
I bet, like rebuilding buildings that have been bombed.
And on the other side of the bridge, ironically, is the former HQ of the British Army. Their parade ground, where you used to see helicopters coming in and out, like the embassy in Hanoi, and it's like the Green Zone in Baghdad. Now what you have is this open concert venue, where they have live bands and they have performances.
And this is a change that's just the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, that would have been a hated symbol of British imperialism. And now you walk across this fancy pedestrian bridge and you have a cultural festival.
Yeah, and they have this big banner across the front of the British Army base. When this festival for this year was being decided, people were thinking, well, what should we call it, Derry, or should we call it Londonderry? And some marketing gurus got together and said, let it be legendary.
Oh, I love that. Legendary.
And that smacks of Londonderry too, you know, but it keeps everybody kind of happy. And there's this big banner now saying, let it be legendary. And all the young ones are kind of using that slogan.
I bet that's hip on both sides.
Yeah,
younger generation is probably so tired of this. Let's move on. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Stephen McPhillamy. And Stephen's from Derry, legendary in the north of Ireland. Catholic family, grew up in this troubled city. And now it's a new beginning for the town. Great festival year, 2013. Stephen, I remember when I was last in Londonderry or Derry, really impressed by the political art. I find political art really powerful, but it tends to remind people that there was all the violence on both extremes. You have extremist Catholic and extremist Protestant, extremist Republican and extremist Unionist, right? What's the state of that art today? What do people think when they look at it?
Well, I, from experience, would have to say that the vast majority of visitors coming into Derry would want to see the murals and are very interested in them. But I've noticed now over the last few years that as I get older and the tourists get younger, less and less of them are fully aware of what the murals mean.
Yeah.
In our city centre, there's a neighbourhood called the Bogside where the British Army shot dead 14 civilians in 1972 in an event called Bloody Sunday. And I was there recently with a group of 18 to 20-year-old Australian backpackers, and I was showing them the mural of Bloody Sunday, and one said to me, what the hell happened on Bloody Sunday? I never heard of this. And I was explaining the story, and I said, well, you probably would know better from the U2 song, Sunday Bloody Sunday. And she responds by saying, well, who are U2? I've never heard any of this stuff. You know, so our conflict in the north of Ireland ended in the late 90s. So if you're an 18-year-old Australian, it's kind of beyond your remit.
If you're an 18-year-old Irish person or English person, it's less a part
absolutely.
Of your heritage.
But that being said, you know, you see people there from America and Britain and whatnot and from the Republic of Ireland, everywhere else coming who are in their 40s or 50s when they grew up with these images on their TV screens, whereas the younger ones have, you know, tourists have never seen that. So the murals are a huge attraction. Some of them are quite abstract. Some are more cultural these days. And some of them are still pretty hardline and radical, but they're a big part of the city's fabric. And they're a really amazing contrast to the old city walls that are up on top of the hill. And nearly every guidebook would recommend coming to see the murals of Derry as a big attraction.
Stephen, this is such an exciting chance this year to have all of this festivities going on in Derry. A lot of people go to Dublin and it feels like Ulster and Derry are just a world away. How easy is it to get from Dublin to Derry?
Well, it's easy enough. If you can get to Belfast, which is 2 hours from Dublin.
Because there's the new bullet train that goes from Belfast to Dublin in 2 hours.
Get to Belfast easily. And from Belfast to Derry, simple. A bus every hour on the half hour. You can also take a train along the north coast. That takes forever.
And how long on the bus?
1 hour and 45 minutes max.
We haven't even talked about the rest of Ulster, but there is so much to see in Northern Ireland. But anybody heading up there this year should be sure to go to Derry. The festival goes all year long, but what would be one thing we'd want to keep in mind?
The biggest event that's happening in our city this year is happening in August. It's called Fla Ceol na hÉireann. And Ceol, C-E-O-L, Ceol is the Irish for music. Fla, F-L-E-A-D-H, means big gathering of musicians. And we are going to have up to 15, maybe 20,000 traditional Irish musicians coming to Derry from all over the world, not just from Ireland. We're going to have an estimated 300,000 people. This is the biggest thing that's ever happened to the city, and it's the first time that this festival has come to Northern Ireland. It's always been in the Republic, so it took a lot of you-know-what for the people who organised this to, you know, bring it over the border, and it's very symbolic, and I've just cleared my diary for that entire 10 days, and I'm just going to party like never before. We're going to have 20,000 musicians. My hostel will be sold out. Ching ching.
Bring it on. Stephen McPhillamy, I'll be there in spirit. Thanks for joining us, and
thank
enjoy
you very
2013.
Much.
From Derry, our next stop is London, as Will Hyde introduces us to his favorite parts of the working class eastern end of London. Hang out with the EastEnders at 877-333-7425 next on Travel with Rick Steves.